We're celebrating the ultimate entrepreneurial dream, building a company from the ground up and achieving a monumental exit. We're talking with Sejal Shah, the visionary behind Total Med, a healthcare staffing powerhouse. Sejal's journey from co-founder in 2005 to leading a thriving enterprise is a testament to the power of vision, hard work, and a dedicated team. Join us as we delve into Sejal's incredible story, his insights on building a successful business, and what it takes to achieve a life-changing exit. This is Sejal Shah, and this is The Disruptors.
Sejal, just for purposes of, like, for people who obviously know you and so on and so forth, you started a business. Can you just kind of go through a little history? You're out of college with your college roommate and so on and so forth. Can you just go through a little history of Total Med and how you guys got all started with all that stuff? Because I think it's actually a pretty fascinating story.
Sure. I mean, I was, got a job in Oshkosh, Wisconsin at a company called Miles Kimball. And I was managing their entire database marketing and e-commerce division. And while I was out there, because I went to school at Ripon College, which is like 20 minutes away, a lot of the guys that I went to school with were there. So pretty much I was hanging out with them all the time. And one of the guys that I was hanging out with was Jason Beck. So
who's here?
Who's here?
Right.
Who's here? And so it was actually Jason Beck and John went, and we would hang out all the time and just go out and paint the town and just have a great time. And naturally, when Jason and I would be, you know, a few drinks in, you start dreaming, right? You talk about what could be, and we should do something.
So you just, to interrupt, you just felt like being an entrepreneur was in your blood from day one? Because a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you ask my parents, my family.
They were scared, weren't they?
They're scared. They did not like the fact that, like, they think sales was one of the most, what's the word? Most unstable profession.
Of course.
And, you know, my parents came from India, so they're always looking for stability. Income stability.
100%.
My dad was an engineer. Yes, you know.
Yeah,
we've
course,
talked about it
course.
A ton.
Yeah.
So, like, anything to do, like, my dad wanted me to be a doctor.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah,
with my parents.
Right? They all Asian parents want doctors. And I was
would be awful doctors.
Awful.
I would feel so sorry for the patients.
First
I'd be like, you're dying, and sorry. There's just literally nothing.
Well, I kind of knew it was in my deal when the first time I had to cut an eyeball in high school. And no, I'm out.
Yeah.
Not going to do this.
Right.
So then comp sci was the next thing. And so I was going to go down the comp sci major. But throughout since I was a kid, I always gravitated towards, like, sales type jobs. I started a little VCR repair business. So you got a manual, bought the kit, go around the neighborhood.
VCR.
Yeah. I don't know if kids even know what that is today.
No.
So just all these little gigs. And then I sold the paper at the Daily Herald, started off in phones, telemarketing, then went to door-to-door sales. And then the guy was like, hey, you want to build a team? So I'm in high school and I'm building a team of people to go sell the newspaper door-to-door. And I would train them and coach them through it. And so sales was kind of always the fun part.
And it comes naturally.
It was.
Without question. You were always looking in terms of how do those outcomes look better in anything we talk about, even with your party and so on and so forth. It's in your blood for sure.
Yeah. And I think there's always this inherent thing, like, you control your own destiny, right?
Yeah.
Like in sales, even, you know, the more you sell, the more you make, right? So that was always ingrained. That just felt like there was always upside. Whereas if you're in an hourly job, I always felt like I was capped. And so just went to go to school for comp sci, and then quickly ended up pivoting into econ. And my dad's like, what are you going to do with an econ major now? I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
It's like, well, I decided I changed my mind. I didn't want to be a comp sci major. And he's like, no, I don't think it's that you changed your mind. I think you just went to the wrong school for comp sci. And I was like, yeah. And that was his take. But I got to tell you something. And I was just talking to my buddy about this the other day. I was like, out of all the things, right? Like, he never said, no, you can't go to Ripon.
So
no, you can't go to this.
So he was always supportive, but he would question some of your decisions,
and
made sure those decisions were yours.
Right, like that's the weird part. That's the weird part.
Cool.
Like I did. I just it's hard to comprehend as a parent now.
Yeah.
How he could have just said no,
yeah.
and you know, You're not going Erie. This is what you're going to do. You're my kid. And so it,
and think about the risk he thought you were taking relative to that decision.
That's, scared the crap out of him.
And so that takes a lot of composure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty intense.
So like now my oldest is going to be going off to college next year. And I purposely had to tell myself,
chill. Yeah.
Don't push. Let him, just like my dad had given me those options, even though he like did everything he could to convince me otherwise, but he never said no. So I just tried to do the same for him, but I'm actually taking even more of a chill approach with my kids because, you know, I'm fortunate. Like, they're amazing kids.
Yeah, terrific children.
They're driven. 100%. They have integrity and, you know, for the most part, they're very respectful.
And they're also very close.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they like each other's company.
They do.
You know, when we fast forward, the way I got to know Sejo is obviously through the business.
Yeah.
And then we became fast friends, and I consider you actually one of my closest friends. But you went through a large transition. You know, maybe for your children down the road when they watch this video or whatever the case may be, you went through a lot of emotions through that. Was it difficult for you to let go of the business and sell it? And how do you feel about it now versus back then? And, you know, and how do you think about, you know, for your own children, how you're going to pass on the legacy to them, not just financially, but, you know, not that detail, but kind of more emotionally, because when you own the business, you're all in, you know, and now that you've kind of, you know, I'd love to hear that journey a little
bit. Yeah. So, you know, when Jason and I, like I said, we were dreaming at the bar, figuring out we're going to do this. We knew we could do something. We knew there was talent here. And so we jumped in. We jumped all in. And so for 16, 17 years, we were out there grinding. But it was all based on us finding great people, putting them in positions to succeed, letting go, not micromanaging, but letting go and just being there more as supporters. And by the way, he was better at it than me. I was a micromanager. I was the guy that was every sale counted and I was knee deep in it. And he was the guy, he was like his joke would always be, yeah, I'm your interpreter. I'm the guy that, like, you know, keeps all the trains on the tracks and I have to constantly interpret what you're trying to say to them and back and forth. But the best part about it was, like, we were just a good yin and yang.
I think so.
Yeah. And so as you're going through this, we've got our key leaders, our top guys have been here since the beginning. They have owned their roles and responsibilities. It's never been about me saying, this is what you should do. They treat it like it's their business.
Yeah. And they do.
Yeah. And then they own it and they crush it. And they're going to make mistakes. We all do. And it's just learning from them and hopefully
do not they miss the you? Mistakes. You know, you've sold the business. Do they miss you? Do you miss them?
Well, I'm still here. I'm still involved.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That day to day, I mean, you're still that engaged.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, but you know, 18 years later, it's not like they've got it. They know what they need to do.
Right. They're almost like, get out of the way.
Get out of the way. Right, that's right. Literally what they're, that's get out of the way. We got this, mm-hmm. You know, and you're just creating more anxiety and more, you know, issues. And so my biggest thing that I've been working on for the last 5 years was letting go, trusting them, just every so often, let's talk, let's ideate, let's see if there's a different way to solve the problem, but they're just solid, right? So put that aside, we do a deal. Right. And frankly speaking, like, you know, I've been in the business for 18 years. We sold about a year and a half ago.
Correct.
Well, they were in the business that long, too. So this would mean a lot for them because we gave a percentage of the company to all of the key people as well. Mm-hmm. So for them, this is a big moment as well.
Correct.
And so.
And I've seen some of their lives change, too.
Oh, you know, I mean.
New homes, things like that.
It's new cars. It's just
cool.
You've
changed lives. You've all changed each other's lives.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can feel that at this party because it's not a celebration of just you. It's a celebration of the partnership and friendship that you guys have had over the years. I feel it for sure. Yeah. And I'm very blessed to be part of it. I know I was the number one guest actually asked, but no, kidding. But I mean, everyone feels very special to be part of that. And I think it's great. And you have quite a lineup. We did, we did something upstairs in the poodle room, and I thought everyone just had a fabulous time.
I thought it was amazing.
Blow away.
They were blown,
wasn't it? It was really cool. And then, so Sage, you guys had this idea, right? And you said, we got to do something. And that something was TotalMed.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, guide me through, or what is TotalMed? How did you come up with the idea? What they do?
Yeah.
Just a little bit of that journey so that, you know, for people who witness this small interview, you know, your family, friends, and so on and so forth, and just kind of meander in that river with me for a little bit.
Yeah.
So you started this company, it's called TotalMed. What is TotalMed? Let's just start there.
So it's a healthcare staffing company, and then later we evolved into a workforce solutions company, and within the healthcare space.
And why did you feel that was important?
Well, you know, Jason had a staffing background, and he's like, I don't want to go into IT. I don't want to go into commercial. So we're sitting there, and I'm like, well, let's go into healthcare. People are always getting sick.
Is that literally how simple it was?
It was that simple.
There was no data. It was just like, let's just
There was no data. No, it was just two guys saying, we can hustle harder and faster than everybody. Let's provide the best customer service, and let's figure it out. So literally we said, let's go into healthcare, baby boomers, you see all the trends, the shortages. It wasn't like this big data analysis. Seriously, it was just, let's give it a shot. And Jason, you know, started out in Appleton, Wisconsin, just started pounding the phones, calling the hospitals.
Things to say. So he started cold calling, you started getting accounts.
Yeah, he just started getting accounts. And, you know, it was tough. Like, so, you know, I had to bootstrap all of this. Like, I didn't have any kind of funding or anything like that. And banks, if you think about when we started, it was 07.
Yeah.
So the whole crash, banks weren't lending. So I just had to find ways to borrow money, get money, credit card debt. I mean, I was $500,000 to $1 million in the hole. It was all on everything from credit cards to all the debt. My houses were all mortgaged out, but I never let anybody know because I didn't want them to worry about that. Yeah. I wanted them to be focused on the business and just the task at hand. So I came on board. Jason, you know, we were, you know, he was getting the recs, but we were struggling filling him. Devin was born March 3rd, 2007. And I'm sitting in the hospital and I had some time off. So I just was cold calling there looking to help him recruit. And we finally had a conversation and I said, okay, dude, you know, I think it's just, we're not finding the right people to help fill this. And he's like, well, quit talking from the cheap seats. Why don't you get on board then? And so we talked about it. And I said, all right, if I'm coming on board, then let's just be on the same page. There's one main chief in the kitchen. Like I'm the CEO and it goes my way. He's like, done. And that was it. We never looked back. We just fired ahead. We started filling recs, started bringing in cash. And as you're growing your business, in the nature of our business, you need cash for payroll purposes. Like you have to flow cash for 60 days. And that gets tough as you're growing, as it's hard to get money. So it took a while. I can't even tell you, like just credit cards. Like, you know, back in the day with the credit cards.
I know that.
Feeling. It was that you could do the 0 or 2%.
Right. And then you can roll. And roll. Right.
So every time
and
you
or get another credit card and then change the balance.
Exactly.
I was an expert in that.
That's exactly. And then they kept giving you bigger amounts. And so I was. And
it was
insane. Yeah, it was insane. But I remember thinking, worst case, if this doesn't work, I'm talented enough to go get a job and pay all this off. It'll take me time, but I'll do it. It is what it is. But this is the stat. We got to go for it. And so we just jumped all in. And so now what happened is as we're growing, as we're filling these recs, we have to start hiring people. And that was the hard part, is finding people who are as driven as you. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part. So that sometimes is also the costly part. Mm-hmm. Because how many people do you have to go through to find that person?
It's very difficult.
Yes, but when you find those people,
you got to lock and load.
Yeah, and Jason had this amazing network of people locally that had built a relationship that he figured out were very driven. The Dave Barses, the Chad Schulers, the Abby Dions,
and you can see it in their eyes even today.
It's their business.
It's their business.
It's their business.
They're so passionate about
it. They're passionate about it. Like 100%. Like. They go above and beyond in every aspect of their roles and responsibilities.
No.
So they
take it personally.
It's personal.
No, I get that.
It's personal.
I've seen it.
I've witnessed it.
Yep.
And then they built teams under them of the same mindset. So the hardest part was getting your head wrapped around how to scale. So our business is people-driven and sales-driven. So you're hiring recruiters, you're hiring salespeople. And I think one of the toughest parts when building this business is people tend to be too conservative. You hire a recruiter, and then they produce, and then you go hire another one. But if that person doesn't produce, then you have to let that person go and start over training someone new.
That's hard.
So now you're 6 months behind from where you were because you expect them to be
really
somewhere.
So you really have to be right.
You take everything and roll it back in.
Right.
So what we did was we would hire three, knowing that one would make it out of the three. And if the second made it, that was gravy. And the third made it, I mean, that's like a unicorn, right? So we would actually invest twice as much, three times as much to cover that opportunity. And that's how we did it. And so that was one aspect of it. We scaled, so we kept rolling everything back. We didn't soak anything in. We were making nothing for the first 5+ years. You know what I mean? Almost 7 to 10 years, maybe even. Yeah. And then as that started happening and we started scaling and we started growing, we started realizing that, okay, now we have to also introduce new business lines to create more diversification within the healthcare space. Can't put all your eggs in one basket of the nursing. And a lot of people were giving us advice like, no, just be ultra focused. But we just realized that we had the ability now to keep building talent that is so driven and successful that we can start adding these new business lines.
And kind of create a flywheel.
Right. So what ends up happening is like you've got this growth curve on one business product line. Then I bring in another one. And as that starts to take off, then it starts to compound, right?
It's really cool.
And then in 2017, we were right around the, I think it was right around the 100 million mark, and we did an acquisition for a tech company. There was this amazing guy, his name was Steve Swan, and he had built this small, like $15 million company, but he was an IT developer guy, an IT genius guy, who, as he was starting a nurse staffing company, started going, wait a minute, this is so manual. Why am I doing this? So naturally, he would build solutions, tech solutions to automate that stuff. I saw him do more in 1 year than I couldn't find in the rest of the industry. So I said, hey man, let's join forces. So he graciously said, let's do it. I said, let's take your tech and apply it to a bigger platform. And can 1+1=3? And could that net you more money? And so he was bought into the vision, jumped on. He's here. So, yeah, you know, I saw him last night.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And that was it. And then
the unfortunate issue, the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And which was explosive for your business.
It was, actually. Yeah.
But the bigger question I had was, were you ready for it? I mean, because you went from X to Y very quickly. Yeah. And I always wondered in the back of my mind, how does a company like that just handle that type of explosive growth? And was there anxiety over that? Because I never asked you that question, but that's something that was always in the back of my mind. Like, it's one thing to say, okay, you know, this is happening, but did you have a kind of like the business vertebra to handle all that excess demand?
Well, you never really do. You know what I mean? Like, you can never prepare for or expect something like that or how to handle it. But it's a testament to the people that we had. You know what I mean? Because they seized the opportunity. So everybody was burning it on both ends. Everybody was jumping on board, doing whatever they needed to do. And we just kept hiring
like no other.
It was just, I mean, we were bringing on.
And I feel like that's kind of permanently changed the business post-COVID, like on how you approach things, because you had to do things so fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it was interesting. So we made that major tech investment from 2017 to 2020. So as the tech was getting, you know, built, adopted, you know, trained on, you know, enhanced, then this happened. It was almost like the perfect, you know, timing, because now we're scaling and now we have the tech to support the scale.
Which and that was a material advantage.
Material advantage.
Without question. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And so that is how we were able to grow the business then another 5X
I mean, think about it, 5X later.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But all all because of the investments into people, the technology, the processes, but everything comes down to people. It's their commitment to winning, their commitment to success that makes all of this happen. And so we're just fortunate. And, you know, alongside this, I've had a supportive family, all the friends, you know, these are my, you know, childhood buddies, my neighborhood buddies, my college buddies. Like, you know, I am who I am because of them, you know, my family and all of them, because they influenced my journey to becoming who I am, my personality, my, my not so funny jokes.
Do you ever think, you have it in you? 'Cause you know, you go from 50, it's kind of a milestone. You know, when you think in terms of when you're 60 or 70, do you think you'll ever start another business again? And then let me follow up with another question. Not only would you start another business again, would you think about doing something with your family, you know, with your kids when they get out?
Well,
that's something that's on the brain.
Well, if they want to. So if my kids want to do something.
Are you encouraging it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm not pushing it.
No.
I'm supporting.
But you're there. So, I'm there. Hey, look, if you want it. But because I notice your kids do talk about becoming entrepreneurs.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that chapter could be a lot of fun, and then you can kind of walk them through that.
Yeah.
How involved would you be?
However involved they want me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting. Like, I'm a big believer in karma and pay it forward. And so, I do have a bunch of other peers that I love to help. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some of them ask, "Hey, do you want to be on the board?" Or I'm like, no, I don't want to be on the board. I just, if you need help, I'll help you. I don't want any expectations. You know, I do it on my own. I just want to do it on my own timetable, but yeah, it's fun.
You know, Sage, I just want to let you know that it's been a real pleasure getting to know you as a person. Everything you say is very authentic. It's very true. I think personally, you know, knock on wood, the best is yet to come for you.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about your journey, and I'm excited about sharing it with you. And I think you have just an amazing family. You have amazing friends. I was very happy to be included and invited here. But on a more serious tone, I just think the stage is really now set for you for the next 5 to 10 years, 20 years, whatever the case may be, for some really cool things to happen. And I think what's great about your personality and the way you think about things is the upside is completely unlimited.
Yeah.
And you allow that journey to kind of just happen for you. So once again, happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. My next project is Total Tech. And
oh yeah, Total Tech.
And Brock Bauer is spearheading that, and he's just crushing it.
Correct.
And he's just, you know, it's like, great.
You're just never going to end being an entrepreneur.
No, but I don't have to be in the day-to-day grind now.
Correct.
I mean, you find the right people, and they own it and run with it, then all you're doing is just providing, you know, support whenever they need it, so.
Well, for another chapter, for another day,
yeah.
But best of luck to everything, and tonight we're going to just have a wonderful time, and again, happy birthday, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
The Disruptors from the Fountain Blue Las Vegas Resort.